I'm starting to think that it's maybe only J.J. Abrams movies that give me like technical problems.
What else?
Star Trek?
Oh shit,
The
yeah.
famous lost episode.
Yeah.
Ready to go?
As ready as I'll be. The force be with us.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Enter the world. Entering your ears is my co-host, Mr. Dave Bacella.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Enter the world is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, enter our tagline contest by sending your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can send an email to moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess to us at Movies On Up on the Twitter. If you are correct and if we choose you, there will be a prize packaged sent at light speed to your residence. If you can determine what movie Enter the World came from. Today we are going to be, for the first time this year, for seemingly the ninth time in the past 9 months, entering that galaxy far, far away. It's not actually that, but pretty close. We're going to do this entire episode on what was, as we told you last week, our favorite movie of last year. And it really shouldn't be a giant surprise that it was The Force Awakens. I feel even silly doing like the J.J. Abrams directed, starring John Boyega and Daisy Ridley and blah, blah, blah. You get it. I mean, you know who's in the damn movie. You know who's in the damn movie because you probably saw this movie.
If you haven't, don't listen to this.
Yeah, stop listening now. But I mean, if you haven't, Star Wars is just about a month has become the highest grossing domestic film of all time. We generally do box office numbers right off the top. Avatar was sitting at $760 million, the highest grossing domestic film of all time. And it was eclipsed by Star Wars. Normally, this is when I say, hey, Dave, can you guess what was directly above it or below it? Well, there's nothing above it and below it, you know.
How far over under five can I get below it in correct order?
Below Star Wars. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would give you right at 5.
Avatar.
Yes.
Titanic.
Yes.
Jurassic World.
That's correct.
Avengers.
Yep.
Dark Knight.
Yep. This is where you mess up.
Fast and the Furious
No,
7?
It was before December 17th. It was the last time I was excited to tears to go see a movie.
Vector?
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
See, I forget that that's
followed
that
by
high.
Star Wars.
Yeah, I forget that Episode 1 is so high still.
It is. Three movies in the top 10 Star Wars movies. Two in the top 10 Batman movies. Two in the top
Two
10
Avengers
movies as well, yeah. Clearly, outside of Titanic, or I mean, Avatar's there now. There will be a sequel, from what I've been told.
It won't get anywhere near
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, Titanic is the only one on the list that is not, or will not be, you know, part of a larger story. Apparently, we really like sequels. This one specifically, people really, really liked. I thought this movie would be really good, being directed by J.J. Abrams and having sort of the band back together. I thought it would be really good. And I thought, because it's Star Wars, it'll make a lot of money. As evidenced by The Phantom Menace, which had a ton of hype behind it, a ton of anticipation, a ton of excitement. It made
a ton
of money. And exactly. A ton of disappointment, and it sucked. This one, I really did not see the line from Fanboys. They spend the entire movie trying to see Episode 1. One of the last lines is, well, what if it sucks? At no point did I ever think that this movie could suck. So, if it's going to have, you know, the same excitement and hype and be good, what would be the ceiling for this movie? I honestly thought the ceiling was somewhere between $500 and $600 million. I was way wrong.
It was getting to a point where I knew it was going to open to 250. I mean, it came a little short of 250, but I thought there was no way it doesn't
open to
250.
I think it pre-sold 100?
Yeah, it pre-sold more tickets on Fandango than Fandango has ever sold for any movie in its entire run. I knew it would make a lot of money. I guess the question was, how long would it hold strong? You went from 250 to 100 to 88 in its first 3 weeks. If you get one weekend like that as a movie,
if you open to 88, you've got
a
sequel.
I mean, it did that for three. And then what it did last week was still impressive. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head.
I mean, it's completely changing the way movies are coming out at the tail end of 2015 and into 2016. Movies are just, they're jumping overboard to not wide release while Star Wars is still. I mean, it was one of the theaters in L.A. was supposed to premiere The Hateful Eight. And they decided, you know, we're just going to stick with Star Wars in its second week. And, I mean, that pissed Tarantino off a lot, but he was probably the only one mad at that.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing where we had been burnt with episode one, but at no point did I think that this movie would disappoint. I'm a big-time Steelers fan, and when the Steelers met the Seahawks in the Super Bowl 40, I remember just being so excited. My buddy Jason West, who I was living at the time, just thought, like, what if they lose? And honestly, like, there was no thought in my mind. Like, that wasn't even a possibility. It's just like fanboys. Like, there's no way this movie could have sucked. But there is, because we were burnt before.
We were burnt before, but yet people...
It felt different this time.
It did. And I think everybody was thinking how we were thinking. The movie opened to $390 million. In its second week, it made $261 million. There was nobody sitting at home going, well, you know, back in 1999, there was this movie called The Phantom Menace, which turned out to not be so good. So maybe nobody thought that.
No. And I mean, it got the repeat viewings. I saw it twice within 3 days, you know, and then I saw it a third time. So
I wanted to see it twice at the same time.
Yeah. We showed up an hour before. We went to like an 8 p.m. showing on that Thursday. We got to the theater at like 7:10, packed.
Mm-hmm.
Struggled to find two seats together. I took my girls, they're 6 and 4. I took them to a 9 a.m. showing that Saturday, packed, sold out. At 9 a.m. on a Saturday. It was ridiculous. Like that whole week, I mean, you could tell there were people seeing it multiple times.
It's interesting, like, obviously, for a movie to make as much money as it did, it's not just Star Wars fans going to see the movie. I mean, goodness knows, we've seen it a lot. We make up a large portion of that $770+ million. But it's people that aren't necessarily fans. It's people that are like, ah, well, do I really have to see the prequels to see this? Because they didn't. They checked out on those. And maybe they saw the original trilogy or parts of it. To me, it's what you'd have to do to be the highest grossing film of all time. At some point, you have to just cross over. It's not a geek movie. It's not a nerd movie. It is literally a movie for everyone. I'm sure I know people that haven't seen this movie in theaters yet. My parents. But like, I really have to struggle to think about it.
My girlfriend. But
well, I mean, somebody has to watch your other kids while you take four of them to the movie.
And that's what I was worried about.
Poor Aaron, Jesus.
That was my biggest concern was, is it going to hold too true to the original trilogy? Is it going to rely too much on the legacy characters? And is somebody that's not seen the original three going to go into it and just be lost? It didn't. I mean, it's its own movie. Yeah, there are references. Yeah, Han Solo is a big part of it, but he's explained well enough. You can go to this movie without seeing any other Star Wars. This is a good first Star Wars movie because it makes sense. You get it. Like you
may not quite understand the family dynamics, so to speak.
I look at it as if you watch Serenity without watching Firefly.
Which I did.
It's still a fantastic movie.
Yes.
But if you watch Firefly and then Serenity,
it's that much better.
You get it that much better. That's what The Force Awakens did. If you watch it, it's like watching Serenity without Firefly. It's a damn good movie. If you watch it with the original trilogy.
I love the fact that, I mean, you're right. That's a great comparison. But we're talking about a show that Fox canceled after, what, like 12 episodes? And a movie that comparatively made peanuts at the box office. Well, let me tell you about these two. But when we're talking about kind of that nerddom, that world of nerddom, I feel like Whedon and Abrams are like the two kings of that world. Nothing they do goes south. When they announced that Abrams was going to direct this, I thought, shit, that's the Star Trek guy who brought that franchise back from the dead. If anything, I thought this was a more difficult task
Big time.
Maybe it's just me being a Star Wars fan thinking that it means more to more people. And it had been, especially through episodes 1 and 2, kind of dragged through the mud. And I think it lost a lot of its luster to people that aren't diehards. But I really think that he's, with this movie, got it to, I honestly don't think Star Wars has ever been bigger than it is right now.
No.
Certainly not in my life.
Star Trek was dead. Star Trek was essentially a useless property. You had your Trekkies who aren't going anywhere. You weren't gaining new audience. You weren't losing new audience. If Abrams' first Star Trek comes out and bombs, whatever. It's lost in space. No harm is done. If he comes out with Star Wars...
After Disney paid $1 billion
And after the trilogy, after the prequels put that bad taste in everybody's mouth, if he comes out and doesn't deliver with 7, that's dead. This franchise, this 40-year-old pop culture phenomenon is dead. You don't come back from a bad prequel trilogy and a bad episode 7. Like, you don't. So the pressure was there. Like, Star Trek was kind of like, eh, whatever. But he had to hit a home run here. And I think he did.
I think you kind of hit it on the head. It's like, going into it, you're worried, like, well, all right, is it going to be too dependent on the old characters? We know, or at least, you know, some of us may have known, that the idea for this was to really set up new characters that can take the franchise forward. There's only so far you're going to be able to go with Han Solo. There's only so far you're going to be able to go with the old guard, so to speak. And I thought this movie, as much, you know, as I've loved Han Solo my entire life, and loved Darth Vader, because up until this point, he'd been a part of every Star Wars movie one way or the other. To have a movie that those people, obviously not Darth Vader, but the original cast is a part of, but they're not necessarily the most important part that you want to spend the most time with. I loved John Boyega in this movie. Finn is one of my favorite Star Wars characters now. And that's saying a lot, because these older characters that have been a part of your life for 35 years, and there's been all sorts of other adventures that we've read that technically now don't even exist, but are so ingrained in us that says so much for the writing, which Abrams was a giant part of, which Lawrence Kasdan was a giant part of, and the performances from Daisy Ridley, from Oscar Isaac. I thought Poe was a great character too. This was the part of the movie that was, the to me, the biggest question mark, but I think it ended up being the biggest strength.
And that's what they did right, was they didn't rush to the legacies. Like, you meet Poe Dameron first, you meet Finn, you meet Rey, and you know what? I want a movie with them.
Absolutely.
Like, once Finn and Rey get together, I'll watch a whole movie of that chemistry. Like, I'll watch the entire thing of them, and you're sucked in. You're sucked in, and at this point, like, I don't care. Yeah, you've mentioned Luke Skywalker, but I'm into this world now. Like, I'm into Finn and BB-8, and Kylo Ren is this bad guy. And then Han Solo shows up, and it's like, oh, okay. All right, yeah, that's okay. Just throw it on. And it wasn't fan service-y, because he was crucial to the plot.
Certainly.
And it wasn't relied too heavily on him. Like, he was played perfect in this movie. But I want to see more Rey. I want to see more Finn. I want to see more Poe. Like, these characters, you are building a trilogy on, and that's... I love Rey more than I ever liked Skywalker. I hated Luke Skywalker in New Hope.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
He was whiny.
Yeah, and she was
the opposite
awesome.
Of that.
Yeah.
She was completely capable.
Yeah,
like,
I loved her. I love Finn. Just him going from running to being a hero.
And a very Han Solo arc. And that's sort of the criticisms that people have of the movie, is that it does seem very familiar territory, where you have a character that literally leaves and then comes back just as things are seemingly at their worst to, you know, help save the day. There are so many times where it seems like we are repeating A New Hope or we're repeating Jedi. But I thought that there was enough of a new spin on it. I mean, Finn's character, the humor that he added to it, and Han Solo had his one-liners, his sarcasm. Finn's just kind of goofy, but adds so much that was missing in actually all 6 movies. There was some humor, but it usually comes from the droids or something silly like Jar Jar. The humor in this was really kind of laugh out loud funny, and it was from anybody but droids or silly
characters. I mean, I think the one big laugh from BB-8 was the thumbs up. all the other laughs came from mostly Boyega. He was so good.
Or in a random stormtrooper.
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
That may or may not have been Daniel Craig. Yeah.
So, and Adam Driver, I thought was really good. You go from Darth Vader, who is this source of evil, this embodiment of evil, to this guy who wants to be that, but has the feels.
He's like the Kmart version of Darth Vader.
He wants to be, but he hasn't hit evil puberty yet. So it's cool, and I'm excited to see where he goes next. And I'm excited to see his arc over the next two movies. I personally don't have any complaints about this movie, and I know that's silly to say, but I thought it was paced great. I thought all the performances were good. I thought the effects looked... Lupita Nyong'o, I'd rather some practical effects there.
I felt like they used enough practical throughout the rest of the movie that I'm not going to give them shit for that.
Yeah, but I just felt like, why isn't any of her practical? That was my only complaint, I think. The biggest complaints I've heard of the movie is that it's just a retread of 4, which I liked 4.
Yeah.
That was, you're talking 40-some years ago.
1977, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. Call it a remake if you want. Make this... A New Hope 2, if you want. I don't care. It's been so long.
And yeah, I thought it was absolutely a remake and a reboot. Because it's a remake and it's so similar. It's so thematically similar, but it's also a reboot because we have new characters now where we're going to lose some. We lost some. But I don't feel that there's a giant gap not having a Han Solo going forward because we have a character like Finn. And I even thought, Poe, I think, can fill that void very, very nicely. The only complaint I have about the movie is that it wasn't 5 hours long. Maybe it's just because I'm sort of the Star Wars nerd that I am. There were things that I needed more of. I needed more of Captain Phasma. From the trailers, I was like, look at this chick stormtrooper.
I was excited for Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
I thought she would be like the next cool villain.
Absolutely. Like the Boba Fett, kind of.
Yeah, she was underused.
Certainly.
That's putting it lightly.
And
but...
I heard a lot of her stuff got cut, but that's my problem, is that, well, all right, you had to cut it out. So, I mean, that movie, I think, was 2 hours and 15 minutes, which by Star Wars standards is pretty short.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised, but maybe it would have been 3 hours with all that stuff. But I want that. Let Peter Jackson get a hold of this movie and then release it on DVD.
My only complaint was that Episode 8 didn't air right after the credits. And not enough Ewoks.
Yeah, you're right. I think we were low on the Ewoks. But I did get that feeling when it gets to the end of the movie. And you know it's going to be the end of the movie. I'm sitting there going, oh, God. I have to wait. I have to wait two years.
Yeah.
And as excited as I was to see this, I'm going to be that much more excited to see Episode 8 because I know it's going to be phenomenal. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the new characters. I know that I love them.
I am in love with Daisy Ridley. I know it's so cliche right now, but I have the most giant crush on Daisy Ridley now. Not just as Rey, but watching her in interviews. Like, you couldn't find a more likable, charming cast than her and Boyega. Watch any interview with them, and they're just... When the trailer came out, the last, like, longer trailer, there was Instagram videos of each of them watching it. Most adorable things you'll ever see. Like, not just the characters, the cast is so likable. And I can't wait to see Boyega and Ridley, like, grow over the next few years. Not just as Rey and Finn, but as movie stars. Because I have a feeling they will. I don't think...
Oh, certainly.
Like, I love Boyega in Attack the Block. Mm-hmm. I was so stoked when he got the part. Because I hopefully it makes more people watch that movie.
Yeah.
And he's just so damn likable and charming. And... She's the same. She's the prettiest girl in the room that doesn't know it. And that's her whole personality right now, is she doesn't realize that she's a movie star. And it's so endearing.
I mean, you look at the rest of that cast, like, oh boy, I hope that Boyega and Ridley go on to do greater things. Donald Gleason, if his career ended tomorrow, like
he's had one of the,
absolutely. Adam Driver's killing it.
I mean,
Oscar Isaac.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Right. I mean, these are people that have had, with the exception of Gleason, he's not had necessarily the critical success, but he's been involved. I mean, obviously with Isaac and Ex Machina, that movie was lauded for its acting, and he was no small part in that. But these were established stars that have come into this and they've taken to those characters, and I see no reason that they're not going to continue. And
you're adding Benicio del Toro for 8.
And who knows who else?
I know. I mean, it's still early.
Right. Ewan McGregor said he'd love to come back and do Obi-Wan stuff.
His voice was in this. His and Alec Guinness's.
Right. I
mean, it was so many things right. And other than Phasma being underused, and I mean, that's, we put those expectations on.
Well, because they showed us this cool character in the trailer and she didn't do anything.
The stupid complaint about the whole Mary Sue argument, which... claiming that Rey is a Mary Sue. So is Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker grew up as a scrapped junk metal, essentially, and all of a sudden he's this fantastic fighter pilot. That, I mean, that's Star Wars. That's
right.
These characters are really good at everything, except Stormtroopers. They still haven't figured out shooting.
They seem to be a little bit better, though.
Somewhat. But I like it. It got the stench of the prequels out of it. I loved BB-8. BB-8 wasn't overly aggressive. It wasn't trying too hard like C-3PO did at times in the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. The humor didn't feel out of place. It wasn't Jar Jar'd in there. Mm-hmm. It fit. I mean, it had the emotional moments like the...
We didn't say it.
I mean, we all knew Han Solo was going to die, I think. Like, you've been saying...
He's been saying that since 1983.
Yeah.
He wished they would have killed him.
Yeah,
so,
and
guys wish.
I think anybody that's followed Star Wars didn't expect Han Solo to make it through this movie. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the second he steps on that bridge, like, you know it's coming.
Again, they're a little bit derivative of being out on the catwalk on Cloud City and, you know, the unarmed old guy facing off with the bad guy, and all that stuff felt derivative, but it still, like, was impactful.
It was still a good
scene.
It was, I mean, and that's on Driver. Like, Harrison Ford was good in that scene, but that's an Adam Driver scene. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was good. I thought he was really, he plays that conflicted very, very well. And leading up to the showdown in the snow with both Finn and Rey, there's just so much good stuff. And I feel like we're not saying, I feel like we're saying everything that everybody's thinking, because I haven't heard a lot of negative from anybody.
You talked about the scene in the snow, and that's some of the negative that I hear. And it goes along with the Mary Sue thing on how someone that really just learns that they have powers is now adept enough to kick the shit out of somebody who, at the beginning of the movie, stopped a laser bolt in midair.
That
and
was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And let it hang there. Somebody who legit put the fear of the Force in Luke Skywalker so much so that he took his ball and ran away.
But he's
away.
Also not fully trained.
You're right. He's not. And she's not at all.
And he's weak at that time.
Yeah, he did get shot. Chewie got him.
And I guess I don't question it. Like, I saw somebody complain that in the Star Wars universe, everything happens so... It's so coincidental that... those droids end up on Luke's.
Right.
Yeah. And then, BB-8 ends up with Rey, and it's just, oh, they end up at that castle with Luke Scout. It's the Force. Like, the Force works in mysterious ways is how I've always looked at it. So I don't question that. Like, okay, yeah, she's got these, it's within her. Like, her midichlorian count is through the roof.
No, that's not a thing.
But, I just look at it like that. Like, okay, she has this power within, and it's just, it can take over you. Like Luke, he's doing the thing on the Millennium Falcon.
We saw that little droid. That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. And the chessboard, like that was, which was done.
Dejarik.
Which was done stop motion, which is phenomenal. I mean, there were little nods like that that I thought was awesome. And I mean, like I said, I just feel like I'm gushing. Like I
feel like we're justified in it because it had a great score. Not that I needed, sitting in the movie theater, having already paid my money to see it, waiting for it to come on, and checking Rotten Tomatoes and seeing that I think it had like a 94 or a 96, somewhere in there. And I was like, yeah, okay, like this makes me feel just a little bit better. But with the critical success it's had, with the dollars and cents success that it's had, I think most people are kind of gushing about it at this point. And I mean, the things that people seem to be bringing up as negatives, like we've mentioned... I really don't know that there's a lot that people are complaining about. It seems that the same things, and to a certain extent, I don't disagree with them. But, you know, on the other hand, like, complaining about how easily Rey beat up Kylo Ren, well, let me see what happens to him going forward. Maybe, you know, there was a reason for that.
He just killed his dad. You know, like he was in a weak spot. He's had a rough day. You know, he's not fully trained. So, and he just fought Finn before that. And Finn is trained in hand-to-hand combat. So Finn kind of...
softened him up?
Yeah.
That's the argument?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's the greatest thing that this movie did was...
Daisy Ridley.
The second greatest thing this movie did was make me so excited for the next movies. And I don't want to say that it necessarily reawakened my love for Star Wars. I mean, I did fly across the country twice to go to Star Wars conventions since the last movie has come out and since this one has been out. But at least once a day, I find myself on the internet, like, looking at rumors like, well, who do you think is Rey's father? Or what role is Del Toro going to play in the next one? Or who is Supreme Leader? Like, these are all things that I feel like I have to know right now.
See, I don't. We were a few months out from Force Awakens when I stopped reading anything because I just wanted to go in as blind as possible.
I don't want spoilers at this point. You're right. See, but it's too early for spoilers, so I'm okay of reading theories.
See, I'm already the point where I don't want to read anything about it because I don't even want theories because I don't want it spoiled by accident. So I don't care who Andy Serkis is. Like, I want to find out. Like,
I know, but I don't want to find out right now.
I don't care if she's a Kenobi or a Skywalker or somebody else. Kenobi. Like, nah, I don't really care. I'll figure it out. That's what I think about this movie compared to New Hope. New Hope was a standalone movie.
Yes.
I feel like after 8 and 9 come out, the people that didn't like this or that have complaints, I feel like when you watch this after 8 and 9...
And it was always going to be a trilogy.
Yes, it was built up to a trilogy. This is... I feel like not liking this movie is not liking the first chapter of a book.
It's a really great first chapter.
Yeah, I feel like after 8 and 9, this movie will hold up so much better because I feel like a lot of the complaints about this movie will just be absolved in 8 and 9.
I sincerely hope so. I mean, I think that this movie, not that it had any shortage of tasks or things to do, but I think it succeeded, obviously, where episode 1 failed, and that was introducing... Everywhere. Well... primarily introducing like a new generation, not of just characters on screen, but new Star Wars fans. And I know, you know,
this was fun.
Yeah.
This wasn't a political movie with trade agreements.
Right. Exactly.
Pod racing.
I mean, kids love it. People that I know going into this weren't Star Wars fans are now interested in talking about it because they got caught because it was such a good movie. And I really think that it's been since, you know, 1977. We haven't had that extra hook. And if things follow pattern, as much as this patterned after A New Hope, Empire was always my favorite. It's still my favorite. Even as great as this movie was, Empire's still my favorite. And it gives me a little bit of goosebumps thinking, oh shit,
yeah.
What if this next one is just that good?
I think this is instantly my second favorite. I think right now it goes Empire, this, New Hope. I like it that much, and that scares me. Like,
it's hard.
How good is 8 going to be?
How good can it be?
In a way, Rian Johnson has a bigger task than J.J. Abrams.
That's a tough act to follow.
I know.
Yeah,
like J.J. Abrams got the ball rolling. You can't drop it now. Mm-hmm. I like Rian Johnson. I think
Love
he'll
him.
Do cool stuff. Maybe I'm a little worried about 9, but we'll see. We'll
burn that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
But
I just can't wait to get there.
Oh, I know. And I'm very curious to see what kind... I mean, we know what kind of rub this is going to give to episode 8. If this debuted to, what did we say, like 200 and...
248.
Okay. If this debuted to 250, how does the other one not debut... Inflated ticket prices 2 years down the road, how does this not debut to $300 million?
It'll be weird because... This is going to sound weird. The hype won't be as much because this is
they
like...
they won't need to.
This was the event. Yes. Like, this was the first one. I don't think it'll have that impact that, like, oh, this is a historical release. So I think you'll lose some audience there, but I think you'll gain audience from video sales, home theater.
That maybe waited it out the first time around and were like, oh, crap, this is really good.
So, I mean, I don't expect it to do... I wouldn't be shocked if it opens to less than 250.
Less than the biggest opening of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really going out on a limb. But
I wouldn't be shocked if it beats it.
I'm really interested to see what it does for Rogue One.
Because people are idiots. Not everybody follows movie news. Right. Like, they're going to see Star Wars and they might not understand, oh, this takes place before A New Hope.
Oh, this is another prequel.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool, but I understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was always excited about it, but I'm just curious if it'll take any of those fans on the periphery that gave this one a chance because it was sort of the thing to do and really liked it, if they're just still going to stick their toe in the water, or if they're like, you know what? I'll just give this entire universe a try and see. That's really going to be it. Because, I mean, outside of Darth Vader being in that movie and Tarkin and some of these, I don't want to call them lower level characters, but characters we're less familiar with, we're not going to see Luke Skywalker in this. We're not going to see maybe a young Princess Leia, but you're not going to have those bankable stars to draw people in. So I'll be curious to see if a heist movie set in Star Wars is going to be.
I'm excited for it. And that's why I like that Rebels series, because yep. Rebels feels like a Star Wars.
It's Firefly with Star Wars characters.
That's how I described it after that pilot episode.
And you're 100% right.
Yeah, it feels like Firefly in the Star Wars universe, and I absolutely love it. So
I guess that'd be the other interesting thing to see, how many people go out and seek out Rebels.
Serenity.
Yeah, no, not so much. But go out and seek out that other Star Wars stuff that's, you know, even out now and is being made, if that gives any kind of bump. But hopefully we've probably made a couple extra shekels for this movie. Goodness knows it could use the help after the 40 minutes that we've just spent slobbering all over it. But I don't think it's a surprise to hear that it absolutely surpassed my wildest expectations for it. I love the movie. It was my favorite movie of last year. And I mean, you can just about pencil in that in 2017, my favorite movie of the year will probably be Star Wars. And in 2019, it'll probably be Star Wars 2. I would love to hear, you know, what you guys thought of it. Even the consensus is that everybody kind of likes it, but you know, let me know what you liked about it the most, or maybe what made you the most excited. What got you excited the most, got you amped up the most? Because that's just going to make me get all excited and really want to start counting down the days until next year. I'm sure you guys are all counting down the days till next week, much like how is Rian Johnson going to follow up The Force Awakens? How are we going to follow up an episode of just The Force Awakens? It had better be something like huge.
Favorite Robert De Niro movies.
That's what we're going to do. Our favorite Robert De Niro movies. If there's one guy that could maybe follow in the steps of Harrison Ford, perhaps, it is Robert De Niro. We'll run down our five favorite De Niro jams.
And one more thing real quick before we go. I launched a new project last week. It's a writing project for me. It's called createdweekly.com. You can go to createdweekly.com. Me, my buddy Fred, and some other artists are making a goal through 2016 to write or draw or record something new every week for the entire year. So we launched that last week. Check out createdweekly.com. Check it weekly, because every probably Friday there will be new stuff from myself, from Fred, from other writers, other artists. We'll see how far we get into the year with it. The goal is to get through the whole year.
It's like a suicide pool.
Yeah, so I'm excited. It'll be a nice little challenge. So that's createdweekly.com. If you are an artist type, if you want to write or draw or submit something, createdweekly@gmail.com. You can also check out davebasella.com. I plan on blogging more this year. But until that, next week we got Bobby D coming up. Until then.
Keep it up.